I'm speaking now with Kevin Crozier. Have you been making hay for generations now, Kevin?
Well, this is my generation of doing it, and I'll probably pass it down to my son, Justin, who works along with me. So this will be the second time. We're on a farm that's a third generation.
And how long have you been making hay?
We'll be doing it 5 years this year.
And how much hay do you make, and how valuable is it?
Well, obviously, how much you produce depends, like any farmer, on the weather, you know, how much rain, how much sun that you get. But on a good year, probably we would produce about 5,000 bales of hay.
How much is 5,000 bales of hay worth?
5,000 bales of hay would be worth about $20,000.
And how big are these bales?
We do square bales. I mean, hay comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. It comes in big round bales that are rolled up that you see along the highways. There's called balage. Those are the ones that look like big white marshmallows out in the field. You'll see them around. But we do what they call a small square bale. They're about 65 pounds.
And who buys the hay from you?
Predominantly horse people buy the hay from us. I have one woman who buys it for her sheep, but she buys the second cut because it's nice and soft and rich for the baby lambs. But for the most part, all horse people.
What's the difference between second cut and first cut hay?
Oh, that's a good question. So first cut is what comes up, usually starts growing in May. And the first cut is generally taken off the fields toward the end of June. So that's your first cut. Then just like your lawn, after the field has been cut, depending on the rain and the sun, you get a second growth of grass that comes back up, or a second cutting. And that generally is much richer, much softer, has a lot more sugar content, protein, things like that. So, there are people out there who like the second cut because they have older horses or they have animals that, just need that higher sugar and protein. So
just for our listeners, the second cut is later in the season, right?
Generally, we're doing our second cut sometime in September. The second cutting is very soft. When you pick up a first cut bale and you look at it, and then you look at a second cut bale, the difference that you would notice right away is that the second cut is much softer. It's not as stalky and heavy as the first cut.
If you were cutting it first in June, that's about 2 months for the field to grow back?
Yep.
And then how much is the second cut worth compared to the first cut?
Well, it all depends on the market, but it's usually between $5 and $6 a bale.
Whereas the first cut is?
Is $4. Average field would produce maybe 600 to 800 bales of first cut. The problem with the second cut is you probably, out of a field that averages 600 to 800 on second cut, you would probably only get about 200 if you were lucky. So the yield is a lot less. It's just the grass hasn't had time to grow as much, and it's not as heavy and dense as the first cut. The bad part of it is you have to make the same amount of trips to cut it around the field, rake it, ted it, than you do for first cut, but the production is much less.
I want to come back to the process of making hay in just a minute, but what kind of ideal weather conditions do you need for growing the hay?
Ideally, you'd like a little bit of rain, a lot of sun, a lot of wind. That's what you want to get the hay to grow. If you get too much rain, it's no good. You can't get out on the fields. You can't. The grass won't grow as much. It's just got too much water. And the other side of that is if you don't get any rain and you get a lot of sun, the grass won't grow either. It just doesn't have enough water. So, it's a balancing act between water and sun. Some years it's a perfect season and other years it's not. That's what they call farming.
And then the three-step process of making hay, what are those steps?
Well, first you mow it down with a big disc mower that leaves it in big wide rows. I don't know, they're probably six 6 feet wide, and it's laid out in big rows. So you do that first, then you come back the following day, and you have what they call a tedder. It's a big machine with big stars on it, and you go through, and it breaks the hay up. It kind of flattens it out and throws it all over so that the hay isn't in a big clump in a big row anymore, but it's spread evenly out through the whole field, and that allows the hay to dry. So generally, the first thing you do is you mow it, you leave it in rows, and what we like to do is we leave it in rows for a day just so that the ground underneath it, between the rows, has a chance to dry really well. And then we'll go back through the following day and we'll ted it out, you know, spread it out along the field. And then the third day, we'll rake it in big rows that stand up high so that the rows are evenly put back together. They're tall so that the wind and sun can get through them. And then that day, that third day in the afternoon, when the moisture content is between 0 and 14%, then we will bale it into square bales.
So why is it so important for the hay to dry before you bale it?
Well, it's important for two reasons. Number one, for me, the ideal bale is about 12% moisture. So we have a meter on our baler that will tell us the exact moisture content of every bale that goes into the wagon. 12% is good because it still retains us a little bit of moisture, which means that your hay still has a lot of good nutrients, sugars, proteins in it. If you overdry the hay, it becomes brittle and there's really no value to it. So there's a balancing act again between sun, wind, and timing. So the ideal time is, you know, once it's raked up in the rows, we kind of watch it, kind of like you would watch a cake bake in an oven. And when we think it's just about the right moisture content, we get out in the field with the baler and run the bales through the baler and look at the meter. And when it's at that 12%, we bale it up. What's nice is even this time of the year, now we're in April, we'll take bales out of the hayloft and break them open. And they look like the day they were raked up in the field. They have that nice green smell to them, and the hay looks really green. So that's the ideal bale.
And what happens if you bale it up when it's too wet?
If you bale it up and the moisture content is actually over 14%, the hay becomes what they call dusty. It begins to mold, and then the hay is no longer good for horses or small animals. It gets what they call dusty. So you really have to be careful about baling your hay if it has too much moisture in it.
Last fall, for many places across New England, it was the rainiest on record as far as the total number of days of rain. How did that affect your hay crop?
It had a tremendous impact. We probably did maybe half the amount of hay that we would have normally done in a regular year. It started raining the end of July and literally never stopped. I think in August and September, I think if we baled 800 bales of hay, we were lucky. So it devastated the hay industry, that wet weather. It was a total loss. Most fields, the first cut never was cut. We had second cut that was just absolutely gorgeous, but it was just, the fields were so saturated with water and so wet, we were unable to get out and get the hay cut and dried. So it just sat there in the fields and went bad, for a better term.
Not only do you need three straight days of dry weather to cut the hay, but you need the field to be dry enough to drive the tractor on it. Why is that?
Well, yeah, obviously the ground where you're cutting has to be dry, because if you cut hay and try to dry it on wet ground, it'll never dry because it's sitting on wet ground. It keeps wicking up the moisture and you'll never get the hay to dry. Secondly, you know, the equipment's very big and it's very heavy. And when you've got a tractor and a baler and a wagon full of hay, it weighs an immense amount of weight.
What happens to the field if you try to drive the equipment across it when it's wet?
Oh, you destroy it. It would get all rutted up and it would get tore up. And then the worst part about that is if it's that bad, then the hay would probably not be dry enough. But not only that, then it ruins the field and you got to go back and try to repair the field, which is even harder.
So my last question to you is, over the last 5 years that you've been doing this, have you noticed changes in weather patterns that you would think are significant?
Well, I think what we're seeing is these wide swings and wide shifts in the weather. I can remember one year it was so hot and dry that the hay never grew and the fields were nothing but a dust bowl. And then other years where there would be, you know, plenty of rain, but too much rain where, like last year, you couldn't even get out on the field. So, yeah, I mean, I think climate change is certainly has a large effect on farming, whether you're haying, you're growing corn, or whatever crop you're raising. It's becoming much harder because of these wild weather patterns that come through. So, yeah, no, I think climate change has a big effect on farming.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.